welcome Michelle Phillips to my little corner of the world, the Sabia Way podcast, where we talk all things. But I'm super happy to have you here. We did a little pre-show conversation, so I'm excited to see where we go. But could you introduce yourself in the ways that feel true to you today?
Thank you. Let's see, introducing myself in ways that, do you say meaningful?
That feel true to you today.
Okay. So, my name is Michelle. Phillips is my last name. What feels true for me today and most all days is that I'm Black, non-binary. I am a parent of a middle schooler. I am a partner. I am a clinician. I am a healer and a facilitator. I'm a child of my parent. Let's see. I'm a grandchild and a great-grandchild of some ancestors. Let's see. What else? I think that's it. I'm a singer.
A singer?
Yeah, I love to sing. I love to sing.
I can see that. I can hear that.
Yeah, I love to sing as part of my work, and get people singing who don't believe that they can sing. Yeah.
Oh, that would be me.
I got you. Well, I'm going to tell you, though, particularly when I'm talking to Black people, I have to remind them that our ancestors were plant people. And when I say plant people, your ancestors picked plants. If you picked plants, worked with plants, made medicine with plants, I bet you you sang. Our ancestors sang when you're working with plant medicine, when you're picking crops, you sang. That's how you got through the day. So I always tell folks, ask one of your ancestors if you can sing and see what they
That's think. True. That's true. And I have in my house, I have 30 plants that all guide me and support me, right? Like, when I look at them, I know where I'm at. Like, am I in a good space? Am I not in a good space? Let me look at my plants and see what they're saying. And I also have a lot of, like, herbs and things that I've just started to, like, mix for myself because it feels healing and it feels natural. And I see you have some plants in your background.
I do. I have some. I've had many rounds of houseplants. I had so many at one point. I had to go through and purge, right? So I had to, like, get down to the ones that, you know, spark joy. Which ones, like, you know, made me feel happy, like the symbiotic relationship that you're discussing with these plants, you know, but I'm talking about the little scraggly ones where I'm like making starts. I got jars in the windows, you know.
Yes. Those ones that you like build relationship with, you like really invested. I have some of them too.
Yeah. And then plants that just try to clown me, you know.
Oh my goodness. I have this fern that I'm like, for real. Right. Like, we go through our things. And, you know, like, I also have, like, a really dramatic, and they all are really dramatic, but my dramatic piece, Lily, why do you have to give me so much drama when you're actually fine? Why do I need all this? This is unnecessary. True. But here you are. Drink up.
Yeah, Peace Lily. Yeah, they're good for drama. But, you know, I think our connection to these plants and our ability to speak with and through these plants far predate us.
Absolutely. Well, the way that I came across you and your work was through Yvette. I always referred to her as like my spiritual lady. Like, I'm like, my spiritual lady, Yvette, right? And we were talking because I was really in a space of, like, you know, I hit one of those slumps where I was just like feeling depressed and like whatever. And it was like one of those things where you have to do like an audit. Where you're like, well, what is this? I mean, obviously the world is burning. Okay, cool. Got that. Like, consistently burning. Every day there's something. Okay. But it was this other piece of something about, like, my internal experience of, like, my day-to-day was not making me feel very good. And I tend to be a person who, I guess, like most or many Black people, we just keep going. I gotta do this. I gotta check this list. I'm responsible for that. I'm responsible for this. Like, and it, like, you know, you operate in a way where you're not feeling until you feel, right? And then when you feel, it's because you're at the extreme. When your body was giving you signs, this was giving you signs, but you were just like, I got to keep going. I got to keep doing. So long story less long, when I was going through that process with her, one thing that I realized was I was feeling very restricted because I wasn't giving myself enough time to be creative. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, as a person who has multiple businesses and multiple this and responsibilities, whatever, the whole damn point of like me building these things was so I can have my time the way that I want my time to be. But when I noticed I was depressed and whatever, I was like, I'm not getting time to be creative. Like, mm-hmm. I'm either in a meeting working on something, I'm, you know, outputting energy in some kind of way, but I'm not really doing the things that really like fill me, mm-hmm. which is being creative. Right? Like being able to sit down and like learn something, understand how it works, build something. And also just like the ability to do nothing. I wasn't getting enough time for that. So anyway, I was talking to her and I was like, yeah, like I want to like set up a more of a like culture around myself that is supportive of that. Mm-hmm. So anyway, she like literally sent me your like email away, you know, like mm-hmm. responder. And she was like, yeah, like, this is, like, Michelle. This is the kind of work that they do, blah, blah, blah. And so, like, I modeled, like, my away message or email. I mean, away message, like, we're back in AIM days. But my email responder, like, mm-hmm. off of yours, where, like, I was like, oh, like, I'm not going to rush to answer these emails. My team doesn't have to rush in, like, mm-hmm. you know, implementing. Like, if we want to cancel some shit, we're going to cancel it. And, like, I worked with... which was like really great for me, a time coach around what do I want my setup to be week to week? Where do I, you know, where do I want the structure around my creative time? And where do, you know, like all these things. And so that kind of process has just, you know, led me to stalking you and being like, what is this person around about? And like, what does it mean to be liberated? And what does it mean to be a liberation strategist? And like, what the fuck? Like, all this shit is dope as fuck. Like, mm-hmm. so yeah. So I guess, like, if you could speak to mm-hmm. just how you've gotten to this point and yeah, what is the goal of the work that you're doing?
Yeah, you know, I, there's a lot of things I actually want to respond to, and I'm also holding what you asked me. but you know, and first of all, I feel like I have to say, you know, I love Yvette. And you know, we're talking about Yvette Morel, divine guidance angel. And you know, we do a lot of collaboration together. And so I'm grateful to be connected, or shall I say woven, into the fabric of your work now. You know, because it's, and one of the things I want to go back to, you know, that you mentioned, you know, and I think a lot of folks, like we don't often understand, and I'm going to differentiate something that you said. You identified yourself as depressed, which may yeah. well be true, right? But the things surrounding what you were talking about actually doesn't sound like depression to me. It does sound like very much patterned work, way of working, mm-hmm. of Black folks' way mm-hmm. of working, mm-hmm. that is not an expression of our liberation. And it really sounded like you might have been approaching something I talk about as burnout.
Yes.
So you're still doing the things, you're going through the motions. And, you know, by the way, sometimes depressed people are not actually going through the motion and doing the thing because they can't, right? But mm-hmm. you were still in the thing, but still having a lot of dissonance between like, my body's moving, right? But there's some things that are stuck, like my mind is stuck, you know, my yep. creativity is stuck, you know, and mm-hmm. so you're kind of burning out this engine, right? Because you're still doing, but you know, you're not resting. Right.
Exactly. Burnout was like, it was right. It was, ooh.
Yeah.
right there. Right. I am trying not to get here because I know mm-hmm. what that means. Like, I'm being collapsed. And then mm-hmm. that takes a long time to get out of. And what do I do when I come out of it? Because now I have to, like, and then it, you know, continues the cycle. Now I have to do the most to, you know, like, you know.
Yeah, I actually know, and not a lot of people know this, that it takes a long time to come back from, like, clinical, actual burnout. It's not like you can take a vacation. It's like you have to reckon with your soul to come back from actual burnout. And so I just wanted to just differentiate and hold that piece a little bit for you. It takes a lot to not get ourselves, not find ourselves, in that particular place. So I'm grateful that you began to find some practices. And so these practices that you did, this is what I'm talking about, just practices that will move you, right? Move us toward our liberation, right? So saying like, actually, I don't have to respond to these emails right now, right? Like, that's not the priority right now. You know, what is my work? What is the work for me to be doing right now? Actually, and in fact, right, our work is to be taking care of these bodies.
Yes.
And it's a full-time job.
Literally.
By the time you eat, like, that's a wrap. You know, if you can eat as well as your resource allows, by the time you get the herbs right that you need, by the time you get the sleep, the quality of sleep mm-hmm. that you need and can fall asleep and stay asleep and wake up, you know, like, just that. Don't try to get no body work. Don't try to get no exercise. Like, that's a full time.
Literally.
And think about at the point where you were at burnout. Think about all the other things you were trying to do. The 3-4-5 businesses.
And then, like, relationships, and I have 2 dogs, and, you know, like, child.
It really, it's a full thing. And so really, you know, when you talk about, you know, liberation, like, what does this mean? What are we really talking about? And you remember you were talking about how we just keep going on. Mm-hmm. We don't allow ourselves. We don't have the capacity to actually feel our feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I was talking to my friend Emmanuel Brown over at the Acorn Center for Freedom and Restoration down in Covington, Georgia. But we were talking about, like, you know, part of liberation is the ability to feel these feelings when they come up mm-hmm. and attend to them, right? Without a story, right? Like, without a story about who we are. In relationship to the feeling, like, let's just feel these feelings. Oh, actually, I feel tired, right? So what are the things that I need to do to take care of my body, right? Because the body can't lie.
We can lie. Yeah, we'd be lying. I'd be lying. I don't know about nobody else, but the body is like, I'm going to tell you the truth.
Like you may not be ready to hear it. Right. But I'm literally going to tell you the truth of your life right now. Right. And so that's how we manifest these different ailments and things, right? In the body, because the body's not lying. The body's speaking. Oh, this is happening as a result of X, Y, Z, that and the other. So, you know, when we talk about liberation strategies, you know, I'm really talking about how to get people free. And I'm talking about how within the system of structural racism and oppression, right, and transphobia and homophobia, like all the things, right, what are the practices that we need to embody to free ourselves, right? So that's being vulnerable. That's connecting with other people. That's asking for help. That's, you know, it's a lot of little things, and it's individual to each person. But each one of these strategies is just moving us to the more the more free place, right? The more free place. And so that's the goal of my work, is to support people in getting free.
So many things. So when you were saying, like, the more free place, I think sometimes, even for myself at times, it can be hard to envision liberation in the spaces that our world is in right now, right? Or just even the spaces that, you know, at different points in my life that I was in. So when you speak about liberation and those strategies, is that kind of with the thought that you can be liberated or practicing liberation no matter where you are in life? Because, like, you know, it's harder to envision liberation when you're like, I'm fucking struggling and it's a lot going on, right? Versus, like, when you're in a more stable place, you tend to feel quote unquote freer, right? So I guess, like, kind of that, like, how do you hold that when you're just in the thick of it?
I think in some ways that, you know how people talk about spiritual bypassing? Sometimes I think there's just, like, mental health bypassing. And so, you know, I think there's a way that, you know, we have finally sort of broken some stigma around mental health in our, you know, in, I'll say, like, amongst our community, right? And I'm talking that, like, all the intersections, right? And so we've, you know, we've gotten to a point where we've let go of a lot of the stigma. But I also see sometimes where there's a particular way that we hold that, you know, we would all be all right if there was no oppression, if there was no structural racism, there was no homophobia, there was no, you know, misogynoir, like, you know, like all these things, we'd be all right. Maybe not. Right. Like maybe there are, you know, more supports that we can take advantage of, right, to really move us into some different directions, you know, because depression, where I didn't think you were necessarily describing you know, what depression was, depression is real. Anxiety is real. So, and now we're seeing, like, social anxiety now in the face of the world that we live in is real. Like, there are people that are, like, you know, some people you see, you know, that can, like, travel and be all over the place and it's COVID and it's all right. And it's really some people who, like, cannot, right? And
no, but for real, I'm one of those people. Like, I'm going to erupt if I leave my house. Like, I have to stay here.
Right. And so, you know, and all the places in between, right? So I want to say that, you know, we have to hold the both and, right? Like, we are free and, right, sometimes there are deeper mental, emotional, and spiritual supports that we need to be able, because the truth of the matter is you could leave your home. You could leave your home, right? And, you know, we're in the middle of a pandemic, right? So as clinicians, I know I'm having to do a lot more teasing out, like, well, what was the social anxiety looking like before all this went down, right? What is the result of the pandemic? And then, right, like, how can we begin to, like, just move in small steps, right? Because the world is on fire, but we don't have to stay inside for the rest of our lives, right? We don't. So how can we move in small steps? How can we take a little bit of these bite-sized portions, right, to be able to achieve some degree of balance, you know, back in our lives, some semblance of normalcy? And whatever that meant for you, right? Whatever that meant for the individual, right? So maybe that's not like, hey, we're going to St. Lucia, right? But, you know, maybe, you know, I can take, like, a road trip and I can go down to, you know, Mississippi, I can go to Louisiana, you know, so how are we kind of moving in ways and being more pliable with, you know, what freedom is, what freedom looks like in the middle of a pandemic, and what mainly what freedom will feel like in your body, right? So what mm-hmm. do you need to touch base with to be able to understand, well, oh, actually, for me, I feel most free, right? When my body is doing X, when I'm able to do X, and how can we sort of massage that place, right? You know, to have yeah. the body experiencing what freedom feels like, even though the world is on fire.
Yes. So many things. Okay. So one of the things that, like, when you were talking about, like, moving that, like, step by step, right? Like, one little thing at a time. And I think, like, a really good example was that, because I love to travel. Like, I'm, like, double-sash energy. Like, I love not being home. Like, I just do. Like, it reinvigorates me. Like, when I travel, I feel like I come closer to myself. Like, that's the thing, right? And that's been, like, a hard thing to handle in the midst of, like, you know, the pandemic, because I'm, like, especially when it was, like, super, super, like, we don't know anything that's going on, you need to stay in the house, right? And so, like, I've now been able to, like, you know, I've gotten on a plane a couple times, like, I'm step by step doing a thing. But one of the things that I also think, you know, that has been a hang up for me, just, like, pandemic or not, but, and maybe other people, is, like, also this mental piece of even allowing yourself to be free in whatever way that means for you. Mm-hmm. Like, there seems to be, like, a step-by-step that has to start there. And in some spaces of my life, it's been easier. Like, you know, like, leaving corporate America for me was, like, time to go. Like, you know, where other people may struggle, like, well, I need this, and I need that, the security, the this, whatever, right? In other ways, right, which kind of circles back to what you were saying in the beginning, is, like, vulnerability in relationships is, like, where I'm not free, right? And my brain is like, here's the prison. Stay in it. So I guess, like, how do we're speaking of, like, freedom and liberation and whatever that means to us, because it sounds like it's a very personal meeting. How do we move that mentally? Like, you know, like, how do we start those steps to freeing our minds and, like, letting the, you know, the body and whoever else be in relationship to that mental freedom?
Yeah, it is very individual, like you were saying, for each particular person, right? That sort of, because, you know, we have, and we may not always realize, but, you know, oftentimes we're telling ourselves a story about a thing. And Brené Brown talks about this. And, you know, I don't often, you know, reference her work in my work. Mm-hmm. She talks about, you know, this idea of, you know, what is the story I'm telling myself about this particular thing? You know, those are some of the points where, you know, when I'm working with clients, you know, when I'm in my life, and I'm realizing that I'm getting hung up, you know, that's a great question, to really start to unpack, you know, some of the ways in which we created a story. Sometimes we came with the story, came from formative years where we just have these thoughts, but even about a situation, sometimes we can be telling ourselves a thing that may or may not necessarily be true. And so when we began to really unpack, like, what is this story I'm telling? What do I have going on in my mind about this particular thing? Because we can begin to shift some of those grooves to change our perception, right, about our ability to access freedom at any moment, right? And so when you get into relationships, it's very different, right? Because the most important thing, you know, when you're going into a relationship, right, with 1, 2, 3, 4, however many people, right, the most important and the primary step is consent. So, you know, you're feeling, and you kind of use your hands, like, boxed in, right, mm-hmm. right, in terms of, you know, feeling liberated in your relationships. So one of the things that you or anybody who's struggling in these particular areas, you have to have some degree of consent, right? This has to be a consensual arrangement that, listen, I am building radical, intimate, liberatory relationships in my life. And for me, that means X. Are you able, willing, and desirous to join me in these reciprocal, liberatory, intimate, vulnerable relationships that I'm trying to build in my life? And so sometimes you may be in a relationship trying to do a whole thing, but if you don't have consent from the other party to be in relationship with them, right, as part of your liberation practice, what y'all gonna be doing? It's gonna feel one-sided as hell is what it's gonna feel like, right? And so, and then you get to decide based on the answer to that question. We get to decide, no? Okay, cool. Like, bet. Great.
You know what? It's so wild, right? And like, the one thing that's so funny about anytime I do podcasts is like, that means people get more into my business, right? Because like, I'm going to talk from the heart, right? So, but anyway, like, one of the things that I have been working on that it's just like that I kind of was, I don't know if I was doubting myself, but I was having some type of doubt because like the way that I, especially in romantic relationships, the way that I am now is like before, I think I used to be really unable to communicate, right? Like, and it would be that now we're in this one-sided thing because we ain't really decide what we were doing consensually together. We just was doing a thing and now we ain't on the same page, right?
Right.
But now, and some people, like, I don't know, people I've dealt with kind of don't always get it, but I'm like, so this is how I feel. This is what I want to do. Do you want to do that? Or you don't want to do that? If you do, we're going to move forward in this way. If you don't, we're going to not move forward in that way. We're going to move forward and this is the way that it's going to look. And like, in some ways, it's worked out great, right? Because people are like, oh, I can receive that, right? Yes, no, maybe so. But in some ways, it causes a reaction of like, maybe like a discombobulation, maybe because it's so straightforward. Yes. But I feel like for me, that's part of my like liberation practice of like, I can't sit in like a purgatory of are we doing this? Are we da 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 da? Like, cause then I feel like I'm in the box.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what you're doing, which is another liberatory practice as well, right? Like, and boundaries, right? And so the boundaries that you're creating, that we create, you know, because I had to do it alone myself, right, is really guiding your behavior, right? It ain't got nothing to do with
that part, that
other part. Person. It's like, well, I got a whole equation, right? So it's called X plus Y equals Z, right? And so listen, X is because I deeply value X plus. So in the presence of Y equals, I will do Z. So because I value X in the presence of Y, I will do Z. That is exactly what you described, right, as guiding your behavior, right, in relationships. So these are liberation practices because you're getting yourself all the way free because you're, you know, and I say, and I have the simplest example for this, and I can give some, you know, from my own relationship arsenal, right? So when I first started dating, you know, my current person, right, they had a thing about being late. I mean, I'm not colonial about my time.
No, like, also respect it, though. Like, give me...
Right. And yeah, if I have paid for theater, if I've paid for music, if I've paid for an experience, I want all of it. So, that's great, right? And she doesn't have to change. Because that's the thing about boundaries. The other person does not have to change. Because she can be in her own relationship with time that has a whole different set of meanings for her, and it can continue to be valid, right? But because I value the money that I pay for entertainment X, in the presence of the person picking me up running late, Z, I will take that Uber and meet you there. I will see you there. I don't have to be in the imagination about why you don't respect, blah, 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 me, right? I don't even have to be in that at all. It's just like, oh, you late? Bet. Great. I'll see you there. Boom. It's done, right? And so my boundaries are guiding my, I was about to say my freedom, but that's true. They're guiding my behavior and my freedom because I'm free now. Because I'm not sitting around mad at you. I'm enjoying my show and I'll see you there.
So it sounds like that freedom part is really like, it's like controlling your experience. It's like, and I, you know, I see that in the space of like relationships, right? Like you can do the da-da-da, why you ain't da-da-da, like you know, even though you know this person is perpetually late, right? So it's like, instead of like me having these feelings or having this experience that feels now controlled by you because you're showing up late on your time, and I feel like I'm losing my, you know, control of my experience, not yours, my experience. I'm gonna go do this thing. Right.
And then what happens magically? What happens magically? This don't always happen. Let me not say that it always happens, but bet that didn't need to happen but two times. And she ain't late no more. Because people change. When we change, when we start doing something different, right? When we like, nah, bet, nope, I'm not doing it this way no more. When we change, we gift others the ability, right? Mm-hmm. To examine themselves to see if they want to be the person who always get met at the place. Because clearly she didn't, because now she on time. You see?
No, that's some real shit, though. That's real. I can really appreciate that reframe. And also, like, can really appreciate you validating, like, my way of thinking or the way that I'm doing these things as, like, liberatory. Because some people are like, you're functioning like a business. I'm like, no. Maybe you need to function more like one. My time is important to me. My energy is important to me. My experience is important to me. And yours is important to you, too. So, like, we just have to make decisions. And then we just figure out what we're doing next. Like, it doesn't have to be, like you said, all the, now we got attitudes, and now we're going through all this chaos. We can just, it can be clear. And we can make grown-ass decisions to free ourselves and to control the experience that we are aiming to have in our lives.
100%. Right. And this is liberation. You're not functioning like a business. You're functioning like a freed person.
You see, now you're tapping into something right now. Let's tap in. So, like, one of the things, and I think, okay, so I think there's, like, identities that, you know, intersect that kind of create a space for freedom or an example of freedom. And so I'll kind of give you, like, what I mean by that. Like, I think being queer in itself is an example of freedom, right? And it's not to say that queer people, we go through hella shit, you know? We've been historically, you know, oppressed in many ways, but it's something about choosing who the fuck you are, right? And like, and celebrating that to me has been an example of freedom that I've like kind of held on to and wanted to grow in other aspects of my life, right? So then it's like seeing my grandfather be an entrepreneur, again, another example of a, like, an example of freedom that I was able to be like, he can do this when he wants to, and he can do this when he wants. Of course, it's not that easy, as I know now, but it still, like, created something for me to look at and kind of build off of, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And so I think now at this point, as someone who's queer, who's an entrepreneur, who's Black, I even think like Blackness to me, because of the shit that anytime I see people that go through things but still are just beautiful and resilient and up, like it gives me like this thing of like, even if shit is bad, there's still something there like that I can tap into. And that way, though, in my personal experience and with the people I've been around, my mother, my mom, like one of the things that she did when I was younger, her original first name is Sheila, right? Mm-hmm. She didn't like it. So when she was like 30 something, she changed her name. For me, that was like, no other parent had that. You know, like no one was like, my mom changed her name. Like, and for me, that was before I even knew about like dead names and, you know, names. So, but it was like the first time that I seen that. And like a Black woman who was like, I don't like, I'm just gonna change it. So I think for me, like, there is a part of me that is kind of tuned into freedom, sometimes in ways that other people haven't yet grasped as a foundation for their being. Does that make sense? For me, like, it's a foundational piece of like, once I start feeling that trapped, like I said, like feeling depressed or whatever, however I'm naming it that day, because I may name it as anger. One day I may need to use irritation, whatever, it's kind of bring it up. I'm feeling trapped and I have to get out of this. And like, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get back into that space of feeling free again. But it's sometimes hard. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you see this with your like with the people that you work with. It's sometimes hard to be in that space and be in community that's not mm-hmm. there yet. Mm-hmm. And there's sometimes a pushback between mm-hmm. people who are like, why are you doing this thing instead of this thing? You're like, because that's not freeing. Wow. So like, how does one, does any of that make sense? Like, how does one navigate being in different spaces, but also being in relationship mm-hmm. with people who are just indifferent? Their journey of freedom is looking different, or they're not even at that mental unlock. Right. You know?
Yeah, no, it's, you know, and that's the thing. It's like, we're all in transition, right? And it's just that it could be that the, you know, the community that you're, you know, around that, you know, that transition is happening slower, right? So mm-hmm. you have been able to tap into some of these like free elders, giving you examples of, you know, like, well, this is how you get free. You don't, when you ready to change your name, you just go ahead and change your name, right? You know, how old you are, right? You know, so go ahead then and do
it. You just start telling people like, it's not Sheila, it's LaShayla, and that's it, period.
Right, done, right. And your grandfather, right, you know, as an entrepreneur, you know, I'm sure, and is he still alive right
now? He passed away a couple of years ago.
Okay, I've felt this liminal mm-hmm. when you mentioned him. Yeah, so you have this ancestor who is, you know, who is the shining this beacon of liberation, you know, for you, you know, like, this is how you be free, right? Like, you work for yourself, right? And so a lot of us, you know, we, you know, when you're kind of tapped in and tuned in and you're paying attention to those things, you recognize them as ways to be free, right? Just strategies for freedom, right? And so really what I would say to someone, you know, kind of in this space where it's like, you know, the people around you haven't quite kind of ignited, you know, continue to find your people, mm-hmm. right? So I done told you about you connected with two other people that I'm, you know, that I'm holding on to. And I have, you know, just a few more people, you know, that are, you know, in this same vein of, you know, really trying to create community, right? To build pockets of free Black people all together at one time. Find your people, right? So find people who are not only trying to be free, but who are creating spaces where Black folks can practice being free together. And that's why I want you to check out Acorn. You can follow some of the stuff that they're having for Black Love Convergence Weekend, which is over Juneteenth this weekend. But that for me was really a space where I got to grow up in terms of, you know, being able to practice freedom like with Black people together at the same time, right? And so, you know, we can talk about, you know, creating spaces and doing strategies and, you know, movement work and all these different things. And I feel like that's a place where I really got to kind of practice with Black people who are, you know, trying to create spaces for many Black people to be free altogether. And so that's really what I would say is to find those pockets of people.
And when we talk about, like, specifically Black people being in community and together being free, I'm thinking about that now. I'm kind of like in my connections, right? Like, I think there's been connections that I built. We're practicing things together. But I also think about, like, I do associate a lot of, like, freedom to white people. Like, I do. And I'm thinking, like, what would it be to be, like, consistently in a space with Black people who made these practices a part of their life. So I guess, like, what has been the benefit for you and your experience of how you view yourself, how you view the world from being in these spaces?
Really, for me, you know, we talk about these relationships, right? These consensual relationships. It really, for me, you know, the real benefit has been really working with, you know, this sort of relational economy. So my relationships become part of my resource, right? As I'm practicing liberation consensually together with individuals. So I know, you know, the impetus is to, you know, think about, you know, white people in relation to freedom because they tend to have most all of the resource and the munties and the coin, right? But, you know, where I've come to understand for myself is these relationships that I have are part of my abundance. My abundance is with Black folks. You know, ways that I get to be more fully myself, that I get to tap into resource that is larger than my own, that I get to amplify my voice. Like, all of these come as a result of my relationship, right, with Black folks. So that has really been the benefit of, you know, why I do what I do, because I want to go to the more, I always want to be in the more free place, and I'm able to get there when I can go and link arms with someone who is Black and is practicing freedom on a daily basis, who is practicing liberation on a daily basis.
Okay, so this is going to take a turn, but we're here now. And I feel like you'd be down for the shits. So I think one of the things that comes up for me, and it comes up in this context, but I think obviously it expands beyond this context, I think about, like, sexual liberation. Mm-hmm. And I think about how my community is kind of, like, moving through that, how I move through it, right? Like, how do we practice sex? What kind of sex we want to have? Who we want to have sex with? Like, who do we not want to have sex with, right? Like, what? So I think about those things, and, like, I'm openly a kinky person. And I think there's, like, one thing about kink that has really, like, opened my eyes to liberation. And I was kinky before I became a doula, right? Mm-hmm. So I was a dom before I became a doula. And actually, I feel like the practice of consent and communication and openness and listening and non-judgmental support, like, all of that, when I moved into the doula world, I was like, this is easy. Like, and I think, like, it was because it just translated, because as a dom, I was holding space, right, for people to be 100% themselves, right? And I'm also consenting, right? So maybe that 1% of yourself ain't for me, but I can just let you know, like, that's not for me. This may be a better resource for you, right? Another dom, whoever. So I think about, like, I think that I was holding in these kinky spaces and continue to hold is this element of shame, right? That people have, like, a lot of shame around who they are, what they like, where they want to be, how they want to look. Like, whatever the fuck it is, people have these elements of shame. And so as, like, a dom, and even as a doula in some ways, because people as, like, doula clients, they hold shame around if they had an abortion before, what their relationship to the person is, what kind of parent do they want to be, where did they come from, do they have enough money to, like, it's a lot of shame still, like, being held in the space, right? And so I say that to say, it feels like there is a connection between shame and liberation, and just wondering like how you view that.
Yes. Shame. Oh my gosh. Like, shame is, you know, I talk about shame a lot, actually with, clients, and it can come up for a variety of reasons. You know, we talked about a little bit, or I was talking about core beliefs and things like that, but really, you know, at its core, shame is really this notion of not belonging, right? The thing that you want to do when you feel shame is run down the street. You don't want to, you know, grab somebody's hand. You don't want to hug someone. Like, you don't want anybody touching you, right? It's really, that's the function of shame, is to keep us apart. You know, it's like this insidious thing that, you know, where people believe that, you know, not that they made a mistake, but they are themselves a mistake, right? We can carry shame intergenerationally. Like, people can be walking around with the shame, like ancestral shame, literally.
Mm-hmm. You see that, like, racism in white people. So, like, mm-hmm. Let go of the shame so we could do something. Like, we got to move past the ancestral shame so we can do something.
Right. And the mechanism that transports shame through generations is parenting, right? The way that we parent, the way that we were parented, instills shame, right? And it is the shame of the way that our parents were parented and the ways mm-hmm. that their parents were parented, right? And so this, you know, breaking free from shame is, you know, definitely a critical piece in getting free, right? Because you're holding on to a story that isn't true. I can't even link back to the ways that we were talking and linking up with consent, right? Because, you know, but I did want to speak to that. You know, I feel, you know, I'm definitely, I would not say that I identify as kinky, but I'm like, you know, mm-hmm. I'm kink adjacent, you know, I'm like an ally. And I know the power that consent moves in that space, right? And so that, you know, when you start talking about like, how can we as Black people explore our sexuality, right? So first we gotta, you know, we gotta deal with the shame. But, you know, when we start talking about being in spaces where we get to practice together, like, there is, I don't know, maybe one space that I know of that is BIPOC and kinky in the whole city of Seattle, that is like specifically like, mm-hmm. this is a space where we can get together and practice together, right? Mm-hmm. Like, how to be in consent, like how to be in play, like how to do all these things that as Black folks, we ain't really learned how to do together well yet, right? And mm-hmm. so, you know, so much of how we all live sexually is embedded in shame, of ourselves, shame of our bodies.
Yes, like, it's a lot. I just one of the things like that I think is like maybe a defense mechanism of mine, but also the truth in a way too, depending on what's going on. It's like sometimes I just, not in a way of being dismissive, and maybe this is my shame speaking, but sometimes I just don't care what other people think. I just don't, it does nothing for me, right? And like, in some ways I can see like, in spaces where I've used that as like a defense mechanism, like, I don't care, da, 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 right? Mm-hmm. But in other ways I'm like, but that's what has allowed me to be myself, because I didn't focus on the shame that could be brought upon me if I did think about what you may think, especially based on what your thoughts are or like how you perceive the world, right? So, and it's like sometimes hard to, like, not everyone's coming from that space, and it's also hard to help someone get to a space of not caring, or at least not being absorbed by what other people think so that they don't introduce so much shame into their life, right? And I think, like, specifically being Black, you know, my family's Southern, church, you know, like, you know, I'm the token queer, you know, I'm in those ways, but I have somehow, some way freed myself, maybe sometimes just being stubborn. It's complicated.
It really is. And I think, you know, being queer is definitely, you know, for some, it could be an early practice ground, right? To have what people, like, for it to be none of my business what other people think of me, right? And so that, you know, being, you know, having a queer identity can definitely kind of move you, you know, into that, you know, trajectory. But, you know, sometimes I think about the work of Dr. Joy DeGruy, right? When we're talking about post-traumatic slave syndrome, and we're talking about, you know, these Southern ways of moving where, you know, you know, our ancestors lived a watched life, right? So even, you know, past chattel slavery in Jim Crow, like, you know, Black people were watched and monitored. And so there was a way that, you know, you absolutely had to care what other people were thinking about you in terms of dress, in terms of comportment, like, you know, in terms of volume, in terms of how you can, you know, turn up or celebrate or whatever. Right? And so those ways of being is definitely still entrenched in many ways in the South, and what the expectations are around, you know, Black folks. And I don't think, you know, we're not free. We're, you know, even still in the South, like that way of moving and that way of being watched through these systems, there's, you know, some internalized, you know, shame and mechanism of shame that still exists, I believe. But, you know, we're in the diaspora, right? We've moved, you know, even from the South, right? If we think of that as kind of like a, you know, a second diaspora, right, of Black folks being, you know, in different places in this country. Absolutely.
And there's moments, even though, like, I guess now I'm just talking to you and will continue to talk to you even after this situation, I'm seeing, like, just the ways that we can free ourselves and, like, you know, these little, quote unquote, little ways, whether it's, like, our mindset or our physical being, as well as I'm also, like, personally leaving the space with kind of, like, the way that I do things, like, thinking that those things were, even though I've continued to do them, like, thinking that they are, something about them is negative, and kind of, like, when think about, like, why, I mean, it's probably just I'm not talking to my people, right? So, like, so it can't be received in the way that I'm giving it, because I'm not talking to a person who understands that space yet. And also, too, I'm leaving with, like, this, I think, like, queerness is just so, it's a starting point. I mean, it can be, like, the starting point that, like, usually you start caged, right? Usually in your queer, especially a Black person, you start, like, caged. You're like, I can't let nobody notice. This shit is weird. I don't belong here. I must be a mistake. But once you get into your little yammy, you be like,
And I think, too, it's definitely, like, you know, it's the practice ground for letting go of shame, for sure, queerness. And, you know, but I also feel very much like it, you know, it's age and generation dependent, you know. And I don't know how old you are, but I have an 11-year-old daughter who, you know, I wouldn't even call it coming out, right? You know.
Well, no, they're just there. They just exist.
She's like, oh, I'm bisexual, Mimi. Like, I'm like, oh, okay. You know, and it's not even a thing. It's like not even a thing. And they have, you know, I think they have some idea, you know, of what it may have been like. I don't know. Maybe they've seen a couple of TikToks or something, you know, like they might be, she might have seen something on Moesha. I have no idea. But it's literally like there's this cloak that they never had on, you know, it's like they never had the like, oh my God, I think, and I'm so old, I still call it gay, right? Like, that's how old I am. I'm so old, I'm gay.
So I'm 33, so I'm on, like, that line of, like, understand, like, still, like, sometimes I'll just call myself an old school lesbian, but then right. also, like, I'm very queer and very whatever, so, like, but I had to come out. We were still coming out in my
life. Yeah, exactly. Still coming out. So, I mean, I went from gay. I think I missed being a lesbian and went straight to queer. You know, like, just because of how, like, my gender kind of, like, got a little in there. Like, I never really felt quite, like, with that one. It was all... And this was coming from Bulldog, right? So, it's like, bull, gay, then, right, lesbian, queer. You know what I'm saying? But my kid, you know, is just like, whatever. You know, it's like not even a thing. And that's how we want it, right? Like, that's what we fought for. That's what, you know, that's what all these pride parades have been about for the last 40 years. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what we wanted. So
I remember sneaking to the pride parade. I remember, like, the first time I went, I was like, do I tell? Of course, I wasn't out, but I was like, do I, like, say I'm going to the pride parade? Like, do I just kind of see what the reaction is that I'm going to the pride parade? But I'm not out, though. I'm just like, maybe, you know?
And it's like, I guess we still keep working because, like, it isn't that way for every child. You know, I don't know where they at, but these kids feel real free to me. I mean, the, like, pronouns,
they, them, gender, sexuality, the way that they dress. I'm like, wow, I'm trying to embody that.
Exactly. Like, let me be as free as this little black 11-year-old bisexual girl. Please.
Well, can you tell us before I want to respect your time, because I could talk to you forever. I could talk to you forever. Yes. I'm coming to Seattle. We're going to eat some oysters, hot sauce. So, could you tell people about how to reach you, and even if you want to, if you want to kind of express your offerings? What I know is you do, like, individual coaching, so I'm going to sign myself up for a little discovery session, but
yes,
go ahead.
Yes. So on Instagram, I'm at Liberate with Michelle. I need to get more popping on Instagram because I kind of fell off. It's a whole thing. I'm like, ooh, I got to, like, re-up. But that's one place to find me. My digital home is at liberationstrategies.com. You know, offerings that I'm involved with right now. So there is a spiritual program being offered through the House of Olokun that I am one of the facilitators for. It's like, I would say a spiritual residency almost. And so this is a place to allow people to really begin to be trained and mentored in, matters of the spirit.
Wait. So earlier when you were talking, right, you're like, you know, I'm a child, I'm this, whatever. Right. And so I was thinking, and I was like, when you said child, you said it a couple of times, and I was like, a child of who? And, like, the person that popped into my head was Obatala. But I was like, I'm the T, but, like, I was like, let me just mind my business, whatever. Right. And you just mentioned this, and I'm like,
well, hurl up. Well, okay, so this, okay, the whole program is called House of Olokun, so that's
really, yeah.
Let's wrap. But, so that is a program that's being offered through the House of Olokun, through ACORN, that I've mentioned a bunch. But this is a program where people can really sign up. And so there'll be several facilitators that will be able to move people through this process. And there's also a retreat. It ends in a retreat next year at ACORN on the land, which is a very beautiful place. I also offer discovery sessions, as you know, and I offer liberation coaching. I offer ancestral healing sessions. I offer, I'm also a mental health clinician. You know, in many ways, I feel like that's kind of my side gig, but, you know, I'm just really out here, you know, just trying to serve the people and connect with people that want to be free, and just being a part of that process for those who are willing to journey with me.
Well, thank you for your time and your energy and your words and just the work that you're doing, especially in these times right now where things are so heavy. Just being able to be reminded of the freedom that we can access, the freedom that belongs to us, that we deserve, is really powerful and necessary.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. Thank you for the